We get things rolling, though, by getting on the aforementioned G&M Family Market phone line to talk a Major League Baseball Game 1 of the World Series last night. And to talk about that with us, it's our friend Evan Davis from FanRag Sports, Hardball Times, and the In Play Podcast. Evan, good afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Yeah, great to talk with you after Game 1 last night. That Clayton Kershaw, he's not bad in a big game, huh?
Yeah, he's all right. He can pull it through when it counts, I guess. It's funny how, you know, this narrative that he can't step it up in October and can't come through in the big moments just dogged him throughout his career. And then lo and behold, he all of a sudden has a manager and a bullpen that allows him to not pitch his arm into the ground. And then he goes and strikes out 11 batters against the best offense we've seen since the 1931 Yankees. Who would have thought?
Yeah, it was a remarkable effort last night, and obviously he was the star of the game, but also another big contribution from Justin Turner. Who saw this coming? Justin Turner's always been a good, solid contributor, a high average guy, but did anybody predict this kind of breakout?
No, I don't think so. And Turner himself has admitted that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago he started consulting with a hitting instructor who was not with the New York Mets, the team he was with at the time, and he just decided that, you know, it's pointless to try and, you know, hit the ball through the middle or chop down on it like you're always taught when you're younger. You got to hit the ball in the air. That's the only way you're going to be able to get doubles and get home runs and get really good singles. And once he started doing that, he's basically been unstoppable ever since. He's a remarkable performer. And it's funny that homer last night was actually one of the flukier batted balls he's made of late. I think StatCast, which is Major League Baseball's radar tracking system of the exit velocity and the launch angle and so much other data of every event that's going on the field, I think it said that that particular batted ball would be a home run about 13% of the time. and Turner even admitted, you know, that it was entirely the product of the fact that it was 103 degrees Fahrenheit at Dodger Stadium last night. If it was about 10 degrees cooler, that's probably a can of corn to Marwin Gonzalez. But I think the Dodgers will take it.
Well, tonight it's Rich Hill against Justin Verlander. It's only game two, but do the Astros need to come out of Los Angeles with one win?
Absolutely. I'm not really convinced of the whole, you know, home road split argument, saying, you know, the Astros are so much better at home than they are on the road. I think that's, you know, some small sample size flukiness. With that said, they have Justin Verlander on the mound tonight, who has been absolutely outstanding ever since he arrived in Houston. I think that in order to give themselves a little bit of a cushion with Charlie Morton and some combination of Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers going in games 3 and 4, they need to have another good performance from Verlander tonight. If his fastball is locating, if he's sitting 96 throughout the whole game, if he can go have an inning to give A.J. Hinch the ability to not have to go to his bullpen, I think that is all that the Astros will need. And, you know, that offense, like, looked stymied against Kershaw, but I think they got a chance to maybe put some runs up against Hill. If they can win this game tonight, series even going back to Houston, I think Houston's in great shape.
We're talking with Evan Davis here on Downtown Game 2 of the World Series tonight. Dodgers, of course, have not been there since back in 1988. Is this also a bit of a coming-out party for Dave Roberts so the rest of the country can see what a talented manager this guy is?
I think that Dave Roberts' greatest strength is the ability to communicate with his players. And his players say this all the time. You know, he's the first guy in the clubhouse, and he checks in with every single guy on the roster for 5 minutes, see how their day's going. He's always got a smile on his face. He's always communicating. Players need that. Players perform better when they know that their manager has their back. And I think that's what Roberts does so well. And he also listens to how to optimally run a bullpen, how to optimally put together a lineup. He's got great communication skills with the front office. And he just seems like the guy you always want in your corner at any time. And I think that's most of the job of being a manager. It's really special. And on top of that, with the unfortunate dismissal of Dusty Baker from the Washington Nationals, we don't have that many managers of color in the sport. That's the real problem. And many qualified people of color who should be considered for open jobs often are not. So Roberts is a really important figure beyond just his on-field skills to be representing a team in the World Series right now.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that, too, because I was frankly quite surprised to see Rod Gardenhire get another gig. He was in consideration for the Red Sox job, and you know, my hope was anybody but another old white guy in Boston.
Yeah, Rod Gardenhire is the definition of like a nothing burger of a manager. I mean, you know, he had some okay seasons with the Twins, but he's nothing special. Thankfully, Alex Cora looks like he's going to be the manager of the Red Sox once the World Series is over. I think that's going to be announced. Davey Martinez, who is the bench coach for Joe Maddon, is in the running for a couple of open spots. So luckily, there might be some announcements that will hopefully start to turn the tide on a bigger scale on that front. But we'll see what happens.
Evan, once the World Series wraps up and we get on to the hot stove season, who are a couple of the biggest names likely to draw the most attention or maybe the early attention when it comes to looking for free agents?
Well, I think Masahiro Tanaka is a big question mark. I don't know if anybody really knows what he's going to do. He has the ability to opt out at the end of the year. He's basically been playing with a partially torn ulnar collateral ligament, which if you tear it, that's Tommy John surgery. He's been playing with a partially torn one of those for like 2 or 3 years, and yet he continues to be great. He's still not 30 years old yet. So will he opt out, see what he can get on the open market based on performance alone, or will he stay with the Yankees to mitigate the potential of injury? I think that's going to really set the tone in the offseason. I'm also curious to see what the Royals are going to do. Dayton Moore has signaled that he wants to try and keep at least one of the bevy of free agents that are going to be at the end of this season. Probably going to shoot for Eric Hosmer, but also Eric Hosmer is probably going to be the most expensive one of that group. So, you know, the Royals really have to figure out how to thread the needle if they want to continue trying to contend or if they need to just blow it all up. I mean, they had that opportunity over the summer to trade a bunch of these guys, these impending free agents, and start rebuilding the farm system, but they didn't do that. So they might be a team that's really kind of caught in the middle without the ability to stick or twist.
Evan Davis talking baseball with us here on Downtown. Evan, always good talking with you. Thanks for making time this afternoon. Enjoy the rest of the World Series, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Thanks, Rich. Always a pleasure.